Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're looking at and studying the book of Acts, which I've entitled Luke's History of the Church, Volume 2. In this session, we will be looking at Acts chapter 23, verses 12 to 33. The Jews plan to kill Paul. The Jews from Ephesus had to get their goal accomplished. They started all this, and Paul was slipping away from them. So they hatched the plot. Paul's vision from God was crucially assuring at that point because his troubles were far from over. I mean, look at it. First, the plot was reviewed. Look at verses 12 through 15 of Acts 23. And when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. I mean, that's pretty serious. Now, when there were more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy, they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great oath that we will eat nothing until we've killed Paul. Now you, therefore, together with the council, suggest to the commander that he be brought down to you tomorrow, as though you were going to make further inquiries concerning him, but we are ready to kill him before he comes near." More than 40 zealots banded together, bonded themselves with an oath, "We will eat nothing until we have killed Paul." Well, in the end, they either broke their vow, or they died of starvation, I guess. The Jews involved the Sanhedrin in their assassination conspiracy. Verse 15 explains that strategy. "Now you therefore, together with the council, suggest to the commander that he be brought down to you tomorrow, as though you were going to make further inquiries concerning him." You know, just call him down and say, "Well, we got a few more questions we need to ask, but we're ready to kill him before he comes near. Before he gets there, we're going to take him out." I mean, the narrative here, it just reads like a spy novel of intrigue. How will they get this? How will they get out of this one? But there's always a slip-up in the plot at some point. There always is. And so, secondly, the plot was revealed. Look at verse 16. "So when Paul's sister's son, his nephew, heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. And then Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, 'Take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him.' So he took him and brought him to the commander and said, 'Paul the prisoner called me to him and asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to say to you.' Then the commander took him by the hand, went aside and asked privately, 'What is it that you have to tell me?' And he said, 'The Jews have agreed to ask you to come to bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were going to inquire more fully about him. But do not yield to them, for more than 40 of them lie in wait for him, men who have bound themselves by an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, waiting for the promise from you.' So the commander let the young man depart and commanded him, 'Tell no one that you have revealed these things to me.'" Paul's nephew. Paul had a sister. We didn't know. Now we do. Paul's nephew learned of the plan. The apostle was told of the plot. He sent the young man to Lysias. And verse 22 records that when the commander learned he was an unwitting accomplice, he decided to handle the problem on his own. He organized a rescue. The sovereign plan of God uses human means. God ordered Paul to witness in Rome, and so he orchestrated getting him there by human means. The third thing we see is that protection was provided. Look at verses 23-24. And he called two centurions, saying, prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at the third hour of the night, and provide mounts to set Paul on and bring him safely to Felix the governor. Listen to that again. 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen deployed to rescue a single prisoner. And it was executed in the still of night. Get Paul safely to the governor. So protection was provided. And then fourth, justice was assured. Look at verse 25. He wrote a letter in the following manner. Claudius Lysias, to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them. Coming with troops, I rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman. And when I wanted to know the reason they accused him, I brought him before their council. I found out that he was accused concerning questions of their law, but had nothing charged against him deserving of death or chains. And when it was told me that the Jews lay in wait for the man, I sent him immediately to you, and also commanded his accusers to state before you the charges against him. Farewell. The letter was sent to the governor by the commander, explaining his own perspective on the matter and his actions in rescuing the apostle. And so fifth, the rescue was completed. Verse 31:1. Then the soldiers, as they were commanded, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. The next day they left the horsemen to go on with him and return to the barracks. When they came to Caesarea and had delivered the letter to the governor, they also presented Paul to him. Paul was safe amidst God's will. There's an interesting pattern to all the visions received by the apostle. They occurred just before a big event or a change in ministry direction. Peter also received a vision in that same pattern. Paul's vision of Ananias in Damascus, Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 16. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, so that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And then Peter's vision of the Gentiles' arrival from Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Paul's vision of a man in Macedonia in Acts 16, verses 9 and 10. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul's vision of assurance in Corinth, Acts 18, verses 9 and 10. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city. and Paul's vision in chains after the third journey. Acts chapter 21, verses 10 to 13. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down to Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. And then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And then Paul's vision in this current situation in verse 11 of Acts 23. "But the following night the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul. For as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, you must also bear witness at Rome.'" We're going to just leave the apostle there where he is until our next session. You have a great day.